Our next briefing item actually is by the Harbour Business Forum, specifically on the land use study for Hong Kong's harbourfront. I believe they have a delegation of four persons from the Harbour Business Forum. I guess they'll be coming in shortly.
Welcome, Maggie. Thank you.
Over there, please. Well, the delegation from the Harbour Business Forum consists of Ms. Maggie Brock, Mr. Joe Ma, and Mr. Wing Ng, and also Ms. Brenda Fong. Welcome again. We'd like to invite Maggie and Joe to make the presentation on the subject of what is on Hong Kong's harbour. Please.
Thank you very much, Chairman and members. I'd like to, on behalf of Harbour Business Forum, to thank you for the opportunity to present our report, What is on Hong Kong's Harbour. The report's a summary version of a more than 200-page harbour audit report, which I'm sure you're glad we're not going to try and present to you, commissioned by the HBF and prepared by Will Smith and TMA Planning. And that's a detailed assessment of the state of the harbourfront today. This report is a summary version, but the full report is on the HBF website for those who are interested, and it can be made available to those who'd like to see it. But we thought it was just too detailed for general interest or use, so hence the summary version. I think most of you know about the Harbour Business Forum. We've been in action since 2005. And we are primarily a research-driven organisation. And we hope that our work can assist both HEC and the government in general in their efforts to provide Hong Kong with a harbourfront that's worthy of one of the most interesting and exciting cities in the world. I don't want to take anything away from the presentation. This is Joe's work. But it will become clear that accessibility to the waterfront, particularly on foot, is still a major challenge. In fact, our findings show that over 60% of the harbour is either not accessible on foot or not easy to access, and that when you get to the waterfront, getting along it for any distance has its limitations, so that connectivity is also an issue. We appreciate that in some districts where we've undertaken the surveys, there are plans to improve the status quo, but we felt it was important to have an understanding of the harbourfront as it is, as well as it will be, on which to base comprehensive and integrated plans for the future. And we like to look at things on an integrated basis, although of course actual inspections have to take place on a district or OZB basis. We hope you find the report both interesting and useful. And with that, I will ask Joe to start.
Okay. Thank you, Maggie. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad I don't have to present the whole report either, because you'll be here all day. So basically what we did was, I'm going to present today is a snapshot of what took place and what happened with the study. There were two major objectives of the study. One, as Maggie mentioned, was to do a comprehensive inventory of what's happening on the harbour, what's happening now and what's going to happen in the future. And the second part of the study is mainly to carry out some very broad-based analysis on the land use compatibility. Some of the key issues which we looked at in the study included land use and the utilization, urban design and the landscaping, you know, very, very broad analysis, I have to say. And accessibility is one important issue, the vibrancy and public transport facilities, and you know, what facilities are available, how to get people to the harbour front. An important baseline information which we used for the study was the government study which was undertaken in 2003, which identified quite a few major uses for the harbour. Port facilities, marine facilities are two major facilities in our harbour, with Hong Kong being a very important port for globally. So these facilities are very important, obviously. And they all take place, they all happen on the eastern and the western side of the harbour nowadays. Recreation and leisure facilities are also important. And then also around the harbour, there are other uses such as residential, mainly on the eastern side of Hong Kong Island, and some on the eastern side and western side of Kowloon Peninsula. And there are the commercial and retail facilities are mainly focused around the Kowloon Peninsula, Tsim Sha Tsui, and in central Wan Chai area. And there were also a lot of government and utility uses. Some interesting figures and data which we came up with in the study was the whole of Hong Kong Island, the whole of Hong Kong, the coastline is about 1,400 kilometers. And within our study area, which basically covers on the eastern side from Lei Yu Mun all the way to Tin Kau area on Kowloon side, and the Hong Kong side from eastern to Kennedy Town, the coastline makes up about 94.2 kilometers. And of that, 94 kilometers, 52% of which are currently under government ownership, and then 33% under private ownership, and then 15% are occupied by utilities and roads and things like that. And in terms of their usage, 60% are currently being used for as built up area. That means, residential offices and things like that. Quite a large number, 21% are occupied by major highways and roads. And then you have 11% which are vacant land. That covers areas such as Kai Tak and West Kowloon area, West Kowloon Reclamation, the art district, the cultural and art district. And then, surprisingly, only 8% are being used currently for open space and green purpose. And in terms of accessibility, we found that over 60% of the harbourfront area are inaccessible because of highways and roads and things like that. So that's quite a staggering number. And only 30%, just over 30% is accessible, by the public. They're able to get right up to the waterfront area. And I mentioned before, nearly 10% of the harbourfront area is currently under development review or construction. That covers places like the West Kowloon Cultural District, the central area, and the Kai Tak area. This plan shows, in terms of accessibility, which are the bits which are accessible. As you can see on the plan, the yellow bits are the accessible parts. And they are mainly clustered around the Kowloon Peninsula area and Wan Chai and central area. A large part of it, particularly on the western side of Kowloon, is inaccessible because of all the port facilities and all the marine facilities. And if you look at we also looked at some of the which are the longest stretches of the harbourfront which are accessible to the public. And on Kowloon side, that includes places like Hong Ham, Tsim Sha Tsui, and then also the Hoi Song Mill, Toh Kwa Wan area. These areas are currently quite accessible to the public. Surprisingly, for me anyway, because the first time I went to Tsim Yi Coast, and particularly on the northeastern side of Tsim Yi, that has a quite a large area of accessible waterfront area, over 2.5 kilometers of accessible waterfront area. And on the southern side of the Tsim Wan coastline, there's over 5 kilometers of accessible waterfront area. And these are the two longest stretches of accessible waterfront which we identified. And on Hong Kong side, there are also quite a few stretches of the waterfront which are accessible to the public. That includes the Causeway Bay area, the central area, the area around the Hong Kong Convention Center, the Aldrich Bay and Hang Pao Chun area on the eastern side of Hong Kong. And we, as I mentioned just now, we looked at some of the compatibility of the waterfront area, and we came up with quite a good, few good examples. The Lei Yuen Mun area is on Kowloon side, is a very good example of a good, what we felt was compatible land use. It has the traditional fishing village of Hong Kong still retained there, and the waterfront promenade is quite nicely done. We felt that this was a good example of the waterfront area. Staying on the Kowloon side, we also came across Hong Kong Promenade, which is very well done, we thought. It has an open, wide and open promenade, and with residential sort of like development behind it. So residents were quite, you know, able to get to the waterfront quite easily. One thing that could be improved would be to have more retail and sort of vibrancy to the promenade. And Tsim Sha Tsui Promenade, obviously, there's been a lot of improvement work done to it in the last 10 years or so. That's become quite a vibrant waterfront area as well. These are all pictures of the Tsim Sha Tsui Promenade. And then, as I said, Tsing Yi Promenade and Maritime Square, and that we felt was an excellent example of waterfront area as well, with the promenade itself is very wide, and there are lots of activities going on throughout the day. There are people just walking around. There are people. It's also used as a major thoroughfare for people getting to the MTR station. And then Maritime Square has quite a nice bit of a outdoor sitting area and a dining area in front of it. And there are lots of people using the promenade area. And with good examples, we also came across some bad ones. There are a lot of waterfront areas which are being used for cargo working areas, industrial use and open car parking, and some for sewage cleaning plant and toilets. And Yau Tong is probably the worst area, worst offender in terms of incompatible uses. There are a lot of quite nasty industrial uses along the waterfront with residential development behind it. These are just some pictures of which we took on the Yau Tong area. Kun Tong area, also along the waterfront area, is being used for cargo working area. And unfortunately, although there is a bit of a promenade, if you can call it, along the waterfront, it is very difficult to get to because you've got the Kun Tong bypass, and you've got also the cargo working area. Once you get to the waterfront, there isn't really much for you to do. And it's quite bleak anyway, because in terms of landscaping, it's very, very poor. Another area where we felt that it wasn't really quite compatible was the KCRC Freight Yard, the MTRC Freight Yard now, at Hong Hum. And there is also, like, an example there is the sewage cleaning plant at Tokar Wan. Bus terminus, there are also quite a few bus terminus which are located on promenade waterfront area. Hong Hum Ferry, with one example, Sai Kung Bus Terminus. And I mentioned just now open parking and public toilets. These are two examples, one in Tokar Wan and one in Lei Yuen Mun, which are located on the waterfront area. The other uses on the Hong Kong side include, like, you know, the all the disused industries in the Kennedy Town area, although these are being planned to be redeveloped in according to the outline zoning plan. And then there are other missed opportunities, such as not so much incompatible in terms of use. I think this is the Western Sports Center is more a case of missed opportunity, where the building itself really isn't, you know, the waterfront doesn't deserve a building like that. And then there's like the open lorry parking in front of it. We also came up with some recommendations of areas where we felt that there's potential for improvements. The North Point to Causeway Bay area, which is a very prominent part of the Hong Kong Island waterfront, we felt that there is opportunity to look at further improvement to the waterfront area. And the picture here, the bottom picture is the North Point Estate redevelopment site, which is currently government has got some new plans for the redevelopment for this. And then this waterfront area, there is potential to link that, to link up the North Point area all the way to Causeway Bay area, and even further to Wan Chai and to Central. So this is quite an important part of Hong Kong, on the Hong Kong Island, where we felt there is potential for improvement. Other areas for improvement which we recommended in our study included the Southeast Kowloon from the Kai Tak development all the way to To Kwa Wan, and then further on to Tong Hum and all the way to Tsim Sha Tsui. Again, there's potential here to introduce a promenade which can be connected all the way from eastern part of Kowloon all the way to Tsim Sha Tsui. And another area where the final area which we recommended for improvement is the Tsim Wan to Tin Kau link. You can actually walk all the way from Tsim Wan to Tin Kau now, but there isn't really a lot to be looked at within the, you know, along the waterfront area. And hopefully with the Tsim Wan Bay area being developed, there will be more opportunities to introduce more vibrancy and more activities to the waterfront area. And once you get to the Tin Kau area, it's actually quite pleasant because the beach is very nice. And then again, it's not being used to its maximum, the beach, because the water is quite polluted, and then it's difficult to get to at the moment. So with that, I think this is a summary of our study. And as Maggie mentioned, the whole report is 200 pages long, and you can all go and look at it if you've got
time. Thank you, Joe. Members may recall receiving a summary report earlier, a couple of days ago, on the study as well. Any questions, please, for the team? Well, please.
Of course I have questions. So if I see correctly, 34% of the waterfront is in private use, but if we exclude the port operations, would that reduce it to say about 20%, i.e. leaving about 80% of the remaining waterfront in under control of government departments? Would that be a reasonable estimate?
Boy, you're always a quite difficult question for me. I think so, yes, roughly, yes. In our analysis, let me get to that page first. Okay. Okay, the 33% includes all the. I think that includes all the sort of like the port back, the terminus area as well. You know the what do you call it? Not the terminus, the container terminal. Yeah.
So this really means that 80% of the harbour front is under current government department control. So any improvement is an activity that a government department will have to undertake, whoever is the controller of that piece of land.
Yes.
Any further questions? Yes, please.
For those accessible, open, accessible areas, do you have have a chance to grade them, whether they are like a quality accessible areas or they are sort of like, although they're accessible, but they are in a dilapidated state?
Yes, we did. In the full report, we looked at, we had sort of like a very kind of quick and dirty analysis for the various areas which we did. Based on the criteria which I mentioned earlier, on the sort of land use, utilization, urban design, landscaping, accessibility, vibrancy. These are the key issues which we looked at. And what we did was, if I go into a bit of the methodology, we walked the entire stretch of the two parts of the, you know, the two waterfront area on Kowloon side and Hong Kong side, and we recorded, we sort of took OZP areas and recorded what are the current uses and what are the usage proposed by the OZP. And we did sort of like a quick summary of the assessment based on these key issues. So if you go into the report, you'll find a more kind of detailed analysis of these.
Lisa, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I just wonder if you've done any overlaying of your results, like accessible waterfront and land ownership issues, and offer more specific recommendations about what can be done. That's one point. Another point is, like, I think your findings would be of huge interest to local district councils. I mean, if you can give your information to them, then perhaps they can think of more specific ways of improving connectivity and also maybe the landscaping of waterfront areas that they can work on. So I don't know whether you send your reports to the local district councils.
I'll answer the first question and let Maggie answer the second one. In terms of recommendations, we sort of make kind of we make remarks rather than recommendation of what you know, like what are the problems there. And I think as to what are the recommendations, I think because this study was more an inventory rather than sort of like making very specific recommendations for what should be done, I think with this report, hopefully somebody would look at the recommendation part in terms of what should be the, you know, what should be proposed and what are the issues that we basically address the issues rather than recommendations.
Just on district councils, yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
Just, I try to understand this. You said accessibility is a problem, and you said 60% of the waterfront is dominated by roads. Is the accessibility a problem of getting over, under, or across the roads? Is that 100% of the problem, or is it 80% of the problem? Is that what the problem is?
It's not so much. Well, when there is a definition of inaccessibility, that's covered in the report, and basically not the 60% is not all related to road. Although what we looked at was that there were 60% of the waterfront areas actually.
The Quinton Bypass. You can get to the waterfront, but you've got to cross over that major highway. And then there's also areas in the Island Eastern Corridor is another example where, you know, the waterfront is actually abutted by this major highway structure. And it's quite difficult to get to. Once you get there, there isn't anything there.
Is anything there, is that primarily a function of the ability to buy food, drinks, and be able to go to the toilet? I mean, what is the minimum basic, you know, aspect of, would you say, a vibrancy? You say, yeah, there is nothing to do. Is that the ability to buy, drink, and some food and go to the toilet? What is the, what holds us back from these areas to be used, being vibrant?
I think government, well, ownership is one thing. These areas are sort of like run by, for instance, right, highways department, or they're run by DSD or run by some government departments, which they don't have the jurisdiction to operate any sort of leisure, recreation, or commercial facilities. And that, I think a lot of problems stem from that.
If I can just say, I think the bottom line is there's nowhere to sit. There's probably almost certainly nowhere to go to the toilet. And probably certainly nowhere to buy a drink on a lot of the stretches of the harbour front that we classify as inaccessible.
I understand that your major effort in doing this review is about the land use compatibility, and most of your presentation about the public accessibility. I don't know whether what is the concept of compatibility or incompatibility, and whether public accessibility can use as how can we use public accessibility to make all the land use more compatible, or accessibility plus something to add on public service.
I mean that
public accessibility may not be the this may be the minimal solution. You need to add on something as well. I don't know about the concept of compatibility and accessibility. So
the compatibility issue really covers quite a number of aspects in terms of what are the adjacent uses there, and we also compare what are the current uses with the proposed OZP uses. For instance, if government already has planned to develop certain area the western part of Kowloon, right, you've got all the port facilities and that, and the government intentions is to use that for port facilities. We would view that as compatible. The existing uses of port facilities and the government's intentions to use that for port facilities, we would see that as compatible. Although it's not accessible to the public. So there's quite intricate kind of analysis in terms of compatibility and accessibility. Compatibility doesn't mean that public can get right up to it. So there are sort of quite an interesting interplay between these different issues there. So what we consider as compatible may not be accessible. What we consider as accessible may not be compatible. So to give you another example, Sai Ying Kun area, right? Although the current uses are not you can get up to the waterfront, but the uses are not related to, are not kind of like what the government are intending to use. So we would view that as incompatible. Yeah?
No, I understand that. I think compatibility may not be identical with accessibility. Yeah. But I mean, we don't know your concept of compatibility on one hand. On the other hand, after you present the view that we have very incompatible land use along the harbourfront, and you focus on accessibility.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's the causal relation between the two concepts then. So accessibility seems to me that you recommend here to improve compatibility issues, address compatibility issues. I don't know.
I think the two are not necessarily related.
Why do you focus on accessibility later on in the second part of your presentation? I mean.
We also looked at where one of the tasks we were asked to do is to look at, say for instance, an area is should be accessible to the public and it's not, then we need to highlight that, and that was part of what we looked at. For instance, I'll give you a, I think using real life examples is better. For instance, North Point is accessible to the public. But you've got highways, once you get there, there's nothing there. So we view that as incompatible, but it's accessible to the public. So the two are not really related in that sense. Whereas, I mentioned just now, the port terminal facilities on the western part of Kowloon, it's not accessible to the public, but its usage is compatible with the bigger picture. You see what I mean? So the two are not necessarily related.
Actually, I think I like the concept of accessibility. If all the harbour funds can be public access, it's quite compatible from my point of view. But I don't know. But anyway, I don't know why you.
But then again,
jump to accessibility.
Some areas shouldn't be accessible. You know, you've got the port facilities; it shouldn't be open to the public because of safety reasons or security reasons. So.
Okay, well, we'd like to thank the Harbour Business Forum for undertaking such an important study and for sharing your findings with us this afternoon. Thank you. And you know, the, I think some of these further information could be found in the report, and members who are interested will be welcome to contact the Harbour Business Forum for further details of the study. Okay? Thank you again.
Thank you.
Yes. Conclusion from this presentation.
Briefings are for information of members.
Uh-huh.
We don't draw conclusion on briefing. That was one of the basic rule of HEC briefing. Paul, you remember?
So we're taking this information somewhere where we take the survey to discuss it and review this learning?
Well, this is the first part of today's meeting, Paul, is a briefing.
Okay, so we can discuss it in the second part.
If in the future, such information probably could be integrated into the work of the HEC or some of the subcommittee or task group, and
I'll wait for our meeting to start so I can bring
Thank you again.